Thank you very much. So for those of you that are looking ahead at your program, you'll notice that the next series of talks all have to do with biodegradable plastic mulches. And many of these talks are actually coming from my collaborators. So what I thought I'd actually do today with this talk is spend a little bit more time on background and talking about our project in general, and then just finish up with a few data slides at the end. So it is going to be a little bit more of an overview talk just to kind of set up some of my collaborators later in the session. So we have been working with agricultural plastic mulch films. So if you're not familiar with these are thin plastic films that are used to cover the soil surface. Their primary function is weed suppression, but they also serve to modify soil moisture and soil temperature. They help warm soils in the spring, and they cool soils when it gets too hot outside. These mulches cost about $250 US per hectare, but because of these agronomic benefits, because of improved yields or extension of growing seasons, they're an economically viable technology, and as such they've been adopted worldwide primarily for vegetable and fruit production. There's estimated about 2.6 million metric tons of agricultural plastic mulches are used per year. And China is the vast majority of this market. About 80% of the mulch films are in China, and estimated over 10 million hectares of land in China are covered in plastic. So this is a large amount of plastic consumption by the agricultural sector. The majority of these mulches are made of polyethylene plastic. And this has a number of environmental consequences. So first of all, polyethylene is not particularly sustainably sourced. It is made from petroleum-derived feedstocks and is energetically expensive to produce. Perhaps more consequential is their end-of-life issues. Polyethylene is not biodegradable, so disposal becomes a big issue. Many recycling facilities do not accept agricultural plastics because they are dirty. The adherent soil makes them contaminated, and so recycling facilities will not accept them. If they're disposed of in a landfill, growers will incur tipping fees. Growers that are trying to avoid those tipping fees may seek alternate disposal, like illegal burning or landfilling. In many parts of the developing world, these polyethylene mulches are actually tilled directly into soil. So the films are thin enough that they'll just till the plastic into soil, and we have big issues with contaminants of these plastic pieces for years or even decades to come. Even if you do try and dispose or remove these mulches properly, they do fragment just in use, and so these pieces can stay in the soil and affect crops, drainage, and soil biota. So one alternative to this is these biodegradable plastic mulch films. And so the idea is that they would be a more environmentally responsible alternative. These are films that would be made of a bio-based or biodegradable polymers. And the idea is that instead of having to remove them and dispose of them into a landfill, these mulches can be tilled into the soil at the end of the growing season and should biodegrade using the natural soil microflora. To date, we've seen pretty low adoption rates, estimated maybe about 10% of growers are using these products. And part of this reason could be that they are more expensive than polyethylene mulches. They're about three times the cost. However, you don't have to pay someone to remove them. You don't have to pay disposal fees on the end, so it may come out as a wash in the end. And there's still a lot of concern about tilling these products into soil. Growers are necessarily concerned about putting plastic, even biodegradable plastic, into the soil, and so they know that it's not going to have long-term effects on soil and plant health, and that's kind of going to be the focus of the talks that you'll hear here today. So I'm part of a large group of collaborators from University of Tennessee, Washington State University, and Montana State University, funded by the USDA, to look at performance and adoptability of biodegradable mulches. We're focusing on several key areas related to biodegradable mulches, including their impacts on agroecosystem health, so both crops and soils, how they're affecting pest and disease rates. We're examining mulch technical performance in terms of their degradation rates, what affects degradation, what are the mechanisms and constraints on degradation. And we also have a technology adoption aspect to this project, which looks at the economic viability of these as a technology and the adoption of biodegradable mulches. And we actually have a talk later in the session by Susan Schexnader, who's going to look at some of these technology adoption issues. What I'm going to focus on here is impacts on agroecosystem health, and in particular soil health. As part of this project, we're running a field experiment in parallel field experiments in Mount Vernon, Washington, and Knoxville, Tennessee. We're evaluating four different biodegradable mulches, three of which are commercially available. Three are commercially available, one is an experimental film, and as controls, we look at cellulosic paper mulches, polyethylene conventional mulches, and have bare ground controls. This is a picture from our Tennessee field site, just to give you an idea of scale and scope. We have done the first 2 years of this field experiment cropped in pie pumpkins. Twice a year, we are measuring a variety of aspects of soil quality to get a sense of what these mulches and both their function as a soil cover and tilling in these mulches into the soil have on the soil quality. And so we're measuring a wide variety of physical, chemical, and biological aspects. Marcus is going to be telling us a little bit more about the physical and chemical effects of these mulches on soil. Marie, who's coming later in the session, will be telling us a little bit about the carbon cycling, the biogeochemistry effects of these. And I'm going to be focusing here on some of the microbial community aspects. So when we think about how these mulches are affecting soil, and in particular the microbes that are living in soil, they actually kind of have two different interplaying effects. So one is this indirect effect of environmental modification. So as a soil cover, they are physically changing the soil environment in terms of moisture, temperature, light penetration, and inputs from plants or herbicides. So that environmental modification should have some effect. And then we also have, with these biodegradable mulches, this direct effect of incorporation. So they're actually physically putting pieces, fragments into the soil. It's a carbon source. There's other components coming in. And so what we're looking at is how these two things are coming together to affect the soil health in general and microbial community specifically. So we're looking at two key questions. One is, do these biodegradable mulches influence the soil microbial communities, and is this effect different from what we are seeing with polyethylene or conventional mulches? So we've looked at a couple different aspects of the soil microbial community during the first 2 years of this project. First, looking at bacterial and fungal abundances, we use a qPCR technique targeting bacterial 16S or fungal ITS genes to quantify as a proxy for bacterial and fungal abundance, and what you see plotted here is the ratio from 16S to ITS gene copies. I'm not going to go into a lot of the details because essentially what we're seeing is there's very little difference between the treatments in all seasons measured. We did note that with one treatment, the nature cycle, which is shown in green bars, we did have slightly higher ITS copy numbers, suggesting that there may be a fungal enrichment going on. So that's something we're going to be watching over the next couple of years of this experiment. We also looked at microbial community composition. Here you see an NMDS plot which shows the structure of these microbial communities. One thing we saw right off the bat was that between our two locations, between Tennessee in circles and Washington in triangles, we see very different microbial communities. But within the two locations, we're not seeing strong treatment differences. So you can see that those dots are kind of all intermixed. There's no strong treatment differences to date. Finally, we didn't see a lot of differences in structure, but we wanted to see if there was differences in what these microbial communities are doing, so what their functional capacity is. So to do that, we measured the extracellular enzyme rates of seven common enzymes that microbes use for degradation. Those are all listed there. And to show you some example data from last fall, we again saw a very similar trend of no treatment effect. So we saw differences by season and location, but we're really not seeing any differences in the functional profile of these microbial communities based on treatment. This was kind of interesting in that not only are we not seeing differences between biodegradable mulch soils and polyethylene soils, but we're also not seeing any differences from our bare ground control at this point as well. So like I said, this experiment is going to continue for another 2.5 years, and so we'll see over the long term if any of these start to play out a little bit more. So our overall conclusion, at least for our soil microbial communities, is that after 2 years, we're not getting detectable changes in the bulk soil communities. Now, I'd just like to finish, though, with a bit of a teaser, in that in addition to the bulk soil communities, we're also looking at communities that are associated with this plastic. So the idea is that if these plastics are having some influence on microbes, it's going to be closely associated with these plastics. They're going to be growing on or even in these plastics. And so I have two students here with posters and 5-minute rapid talks tomorrow that are going to be telling us more about microbes that are associated with the plastics. And they are seeing interesting treatment effects. So I strongly encourage you to check out their posters and talks tomorrow if you are able. So with that, I would just like to acknowledge the very large team of researchers that is part of this performance and adaptability mulch project, as well as members of my lab. And I'll put up those posters again and would be happy to take any questions at this point if you have them.
We have time for a few questions.
The question is how do you characterize the degradation of mulch in the field? I actually think that Marcus is going to be addressing that in his talk, so that's a great question, and it's coming up. Yeah.
I was just wondering if anyone that's part of the study is looking at yield and is measuring
that. Yeah, great question. So we're talking about soil because we're at a soil meeting, but we've got a whole team that is looking at crop yields, fruit quality, pest and disease rates. To date, the first 2 years, there were not major differences in yields between the mulches in Tennessee. I think in Washington, they did actually see some differences, but that's a whole part of our team as well. Good question, yeah. Okay. Yeah?
So I actually have a question. So do you think is there a way you can kind of doing some treatment to facilitate the degradation of the mulch? For example, adding some kind of a solution or reagent to kind of help the breaking of the bonds?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it comes up almost every time I give this talk. So I'm glad you ask it. I think that's something that some people are starting to play with and think about. We had done one lab experiment where we had actually added some protease enzymes to see if that encourages degradation, because we know that proteases are involved. I know there's some research groups in Japan that are also playing around with microbial enzymes as an additive. We're hoping through some of our lab-based studies that we will be able to identify some of the constraints on degradation and better understand maybe a technology or an additive that would help break it down if it's not going quite quickly enough for the grower. So that's a great question, though.
Right.
Yeah, Keith.
Just a comment. We were approached the other day by a company called PicBio, saying just that today, making organisms or whatever that they can put down and drip tape of that to speed up or start the biodegradation. So I can give you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to talk to you more about that. Thank you.